and neither does he tempt any man. But Jesus was tempted. He spent 33 years here. And by the time he was 12 years old and his parents went for the Passover to Jerusalem, he stayed behind and he collaborated and spoke about the scriptures with all of the top priests, and they came back to him. Joseph and Mary said, "Son, why would you do that? Why didn't you come with us?" And he said, "Well, didn't you know that I'm here to be about my Father's business?" And that's what he did. That's what he was here for. And God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe on him. Well, what does it take to believe on him? If you're born again and you're practicing that faith, you're believing on him. That those that would never perish, but they would have eternal life. And if you've got eternal life, you've got it right now. And there are certain powers and things that will happen in your life that won't happen in other people's life right now, in this life also. And the next verse, and Jesus spoke it, John 3:17 said, for this, hear this, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Thank God he came not to condemn us. He came to save us. What is a good example? The high priests were trying to trip Jesus up and make him look bad. They brought a woman to him, and they said, "Master, this woman is an adulteress. We have caught her in the very act of adultery." Well, the first thing you got to think is, if you caught her in the very act, where's the dude? See, where is the guy? Let me tell you something. In this life, women are not less than men. They are not. They were created for man. Together they work. The word says in the Genesis chapter 1, so God created them, male and female, he created them. He created them like himself, male and female. So there is a female side of God also. Well, what is it? I've got my ideas. It could be the Holy Spirit. But it's nothing out of the ordinary. God created what life is really all about. He created us in his image after his likeness. And I can tell you one thing about most women that I've met. Most women that I have met are far more sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit than men are. Most women just are. So, woman of God, don't you let anybody belittle you in any way, shape, or form, because none of us would be here if it wasn't for you. God loves you just as much. All the promises of God are just as much to the women as they are to the men. And it's time somebody rises up and says that. It says it over and over again so you understand. Let's look at a few more of these here. God promises us, for the believer, for the Christian, that whatever happens to you, it's going to turn around and it's going to be a blessing to you. One of my favorite verses, I quote it all the time, Romans 8:28. And we know, the word says, we don't think, the word says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you're a believer and you are, as best as you know, in God's plan for your life, whatever happens to you, it's going to turn around. It's going to work together for good in your life. I have to say, humbly but truthfully, everything I've been through, many of these things I've been through, I caused the problem myself. But I just stayed with God, and they've all worked out. And there are things now, and they're going to work out too. And I want you to know that, man or woman, whoever will hear this, boy or girl, give your life to Christ every day. Present yourself every day. And I promise you, everything. I can't promise you that you won't have afflictions, Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have afflictions, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And whatever that trial, whatever that affliction is, it will not destroy Christians. You will live through it, and you will live above it, and you will come out of it, because no storm, born-again person, lasts forever. And I can assure you, when we, before we leave, all those storms, they're over. They're absolutely, totally over. Here's one here. Revelation 21 and 4. And you talk about a promise. Many times I can't read this out loud without getting teared up. It says this, that God that saved you, he's going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. And there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow where you're going. There will be no more crying. And there will be no more pain. Very seldom do I go through a day where I don't hear about somebody that's in terrible, terrible pain. At the food giveaway today, two or three told me. I prayed for one of them. I don't want to mention their name because they all know. But anyhow, but all of that's temporary. You know how short our life is? Seems like yesterday I was 19 years old. Now I'm 74. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, man, I remember when you and me both had dark hair. And that guy laughed. But I'm sharing with you tonight about the promises of God. And you want to find the promises of God. For every affliction, every challenge that you have in this life, there's probably 10 Bible verses that address that and say that you win. And so what we have to do, as I said many times, we have to learn to discover and pray and believe the promises of God and believe that they're for you. I'm hoping that everybody in here can believe that. I can look everyone in the eye and tell you all those promises are for you. They're not just for certain people. They're for whosoever will believe. That's who those promises are for. And it's a magical life. It's a different life to live life as a born-again Christian. I've got way more than I can read. Like I said, there's 7,500 of them. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Your spirit, soul, and body will be fed. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, by every promise that comes from God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've got one more place I want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 1, and this is what the word says there. The word says, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves. That's what communion's about. It is it's a time of cleansing. Let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or our spirit. And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. That's what we should be doing in this life. The Bible talks over and over what communion's all about. There are a few things that every communion service should have in them. Number one, the word says this. We need to look at our lives during communion. We need to examine our lives. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about communion, that if a person would judge themselves, then God doesn't have to correct them. If we'll take care of, and how do we do that? It starts by examining yourself and saying, God, it's true, I did that. Help me to turn away from that, Father. I want to do the right thing. And that's so personal. We don't ask people to say, who did this? Because you know what? I don't want to know. And you shouldn't tell anybody but God. Because nobody can help you any more than God. Do you believe that? Okay. I'm going to go to the altar. You can make an altar where you are or just bow your head. Whatever you can do, do the best you can. Examine your heart. If there's something there that shouldn't be there, confess it and ask God to help you to overcome it.